Father told me one day, you're just a knucklehead. Shut up. I got a lot to teach you. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26 says, and the servant of Jehovah must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If Jehovah perhaps will give them repentance, so that they can know the truth and they may come to their senses and, what does it say next? Escape the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him to do his will.
That's right.
The problem that we have in particular in the Messianic world, and you know, David, you've been in a long time, and Mark and Rhonda, if you, Justin and Laura, you get able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. I've yet to meet one of those guys. I'm looking forward to the day I do, but patient? You know, I used to like Michael Root's teachings a lot because he has some pretty sound doctrine, but I'm like, this guy is not patient. There's no humility. He screams at everybody. And then I find a lot of these other teachers are not a whole lot different. They may not do the screaming, but they, you know, the arrogance level is on the rictometer. It's like off the charts. There's no such thing as a rictometer, okay? Just in case you're wondering, you're going home, what's a rictometer? So this teaching is going to garner a lot more oy veys than amens. It's just the way it is, because this is a wake-up call teaching. This is not a feel-good, run out the door, and you can't wait to go party teaching. This is a teaching to wake up. Time is short. The minute the conviction hits you, you need to submit to the will of God. And you need to make changes in your life. And I skipped over something here that's pretty important. It's interesting because we came across this, and my wife actually found this. The armor of God is spoken about in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, armor has changed over the years, but if you go back to like the gladiator movies and the biblical times, you will notice one thing is the armor of God is all for the front side. Right? If you go see Gladiator, the breastplate was here. It wasn't a double-sided one. That came later, and then later they had the chain of mail and then the coat of armor, and you became the tin man and you couldn't move. I don't even know how that was a help. But the bottom line is, in the biblical days, the armor protected you from head to toe in the front. That's because you were never designed to run away from your enemy. If you ran away, you exposed an open backside that could be attacked if they caught you easily. You were never created as a follower of Messiah Yeshua so that you could run from the enemy. Now, you don't go looking for a fight. You don't go out there and look on the corner, come on, devil, I want to have a little piece of you. I'm not telling you that. Be careful what you ask for when you do that. But when it comes and it's in your face, you're meant to stand up, know who you are, have that armor already on. You don't start fumbling and try to put the armor on when the warrior's standing in front of you, right? Be prepared. I said like a year ago, we were reading something through that, and it said, you know, put on the armor of God every day. I said, learn to sleep in it. That way if someone breaks in the middle of the night, the armor's on, okay? You need to be ready. You need to understand that the armor of God is for you to face your battles. In order to get disease removed from your life, you need to understand what is causing that disease. So it's necessary to go through these scriptures and talk about it. And that's why some of these teachings run a little long, but we've got to. I mean, I've tried so hard to shorten this down, and this is as short as I can get it. So you're just going to have to bear with me because we've got to go through these. We're going to start with the Old Testament, and we're going to finish with the New Testament, but Exodus 15, 26 says, if you diligently hearken to the voice of Yahweh your God, and will do what is right in His sight, and will listen to and obey His commandments, and keep His statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon you which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am Yahweh who heals you. Now these are not Moses' words, these are the Father's words. Does everybody in this room believe those words?
Amen.
Raise your hand.
Amen.
Okay, anybody that doesn't believe the words, don't raise your hands because I will come and scold you afterwards. Okay? These are the words of the Father. And he tells us, if we believe, if we have anything to do with the Bible and with Yeshua, his son, we either believe it all or we don't, right? We all accept that. We have got to start standing on these statements. And if we don't understand how this statement relates to real life, that means we need to study a little harder. We need to examine ourselves a little harder. The connection here is obedience, blessing, health. Disobedience, the curses come on us. We're going to get into that. But I'm telling you, we have to do our part. These blessings are a free gift. Amen? They're free. It says right in, it's a free gift, but we have a requirement. It's not we have to go earn anything. We just have to follow him. You know, if you tell your child to go wipe down the counter, is that really, he's got to go earn your love? No, you're just telling him to do something. You expect him to go and wipe the counter. It's not difficult. It's not hard. None of his instructions are. But just like yourselves, you want your child to be obedient. Otherwise, you would not have asked them. He doesn't ask anything of us that's not for a purpose, and it's for our blessing. Exodus 23:25 says, "You shall serve Jehovah your God, and he shall bless your bread and water, and will take sickness from your midst." The entire context of Exodus 23, the whole chapter is, do not sin. Go read it. It's all about do not sin. Do not be disobedient. Follow what he says. Be diligent and obey. And you will receive my blessings. Alternately, whenever something is offered for obedience, there's a counter offer. Disobedience, the blessings are pulled away. And then something else happens. When you pull away the blessings of God, which is his protection, that opens the door for the enemy, doesn't it? That's the curses. The curses don't come from God. He pulls away his covering, and Satan's naturally coming in. And we're going to prove that from the scripture. But I want you to pay attention to this. I'm going to actually read four verses, because I'm going to have a quick pop quiz at the end of this. So if you slept through the first half of this, please pay attention right now, because I want everybody to pass this test. "Therefore you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, the judgments which I command you today, to observe them. Then it'll come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that Jehovah your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy that he swore to your fathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain, your new wine, your oil, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flock, in the land which he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or a female barren among you or among your livestock. And Jehovah will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you." So, you pay attention to that? When you are walking in obedience, how much sickness will Jehovah take away?
All of it.
When you're walking in obedience, how much sickness will come upon you?
None.
Good class. Everybody gets an A. Big star up here. We tend to just gloss over this stuff, but it's all. That's why I always say it's all or nothing. God wants all of you. He doesn't want you, you know, 6 days a week and then one day is free to just go create havoc. He wants all of you. He's a jealous God, but it's for your good. It's also interesting in verse 15, it states that the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known. Now that word is a little bit tricky. It's got several meanings in the Hebrew. It can be that they were aware of, that they physically saw on the Egyptians, or that they experienced in their lives. And I have a feeling it was all of the above, because they were living in rebellion and sin in Egypt, following the Egyptian way of life. They drug that with them out into the desert. That's what caused the sin with the golden calf. But I can guarantee you there were things they didn't want any part of. And that's why so much time is spent in Deuteronomy 28 explaining the blessings and the curses. But not to get ahead of myself, he's talking about disease and illness, right? He's not talking about headaches and pulled muscles. You know, Yeshua, did he ever pray for somebody with a headache? Anybody aware of that I missed? Maybe Matthew chapter 73? I don't know. He never prayed for a headache. He never prayed for somebody pulled a muscle because they were lifting a 200-pound rock. That's just stuff that happens in life. You get a headache, take 2 aspirin, lay down. Get some water, take a rest. You get a pulled muscle, rest your arm. You'll be fixed. You'll be fine. Talking disease, illness, sicknesses. These are curses that come upon us, and we need deliverance from them. And the deliverance is going to come when you examine yourself and you line up what the scriptures have to say. The first thing we do in America, what do? You get even a little sick, we run to the doctor, right? Am I the only one used to do that? Well, men don't do that, do we, guys?
No.
No, we just soon hit ourselves over the head with a hammer than go to the doctor. But the doctors today are seeing 50 times the number of patients they saw 50 years ago. Not only is America sicker, but America is more chronically addicted to doctors.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with the doctors. You get in a car accident out here and you get your leg broken, I'm hoping the doctor's close by that can set my leg. Something happens as far as an accident or something serious, that's the first place we should go. You know, if you're laying in a pool of blood on the side of the road, I hope you're not dialing me or somebody, another elder, to come pray over you when you're bleeding out. You should have an ambulance on the way, and we'll meet you at the hospital. But the bottom line is, when you have a sickness come upon you, the first thing you should go to is the healer himself. You should go to the Father directly. The elders of the church, when they were called to come pray for somebody, it was somebody who was seriously sick. And I can guarantee you, you won't find it in the Bible, but I guarantee that these guys knew the Word of God. If you were an elder in that day and time, they knew the Word of God way better than most of us ever will. And I can almost promise you, they examined the person and asked questions that we don't ask today. What's going on in your life? What's going on in the way you're, you know, is there any sin in your life? Do you have any unforgiveness over people? I can't prove it, but I can tell you this. The Word of God talks about all these things. And it talks about if you're lined up with the Word of God, those diseases won't come on you. So chances are, if they did come on them, these elders knew better and they knew how to deal with it. It wasn't a magic potion. It wasn't like you just bring your little love potion, you know, number 7, and that would heal somebody. There was a process they went through, and it's the Word of God. First thing we do is run to the doctor. We need to start running to the Father. Psalms 103. We read it earlier today. Verse 2 says, "Bless Yehovah, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." Again, how many of our iniquities does he forgive? All of them. How many of our diseases does he heal? All. But we have to go to him in repentance, don't we? It's always his will for you to be healed. That's why he provided the instructions that if we follow, that's the way we're going to walk. We're going to walk in his healing. He would rather you walk in healing than have to need healing. But the need for healing is because we haven't been taught this stuff. We haven't learned this stuff. And I've got some work to do myself. I've got to figure out how to make sure these hemorrhoids never come around again. Romans 2. Hey, I gotta give you something to laugh at, right? And plus, I don't want anybody thinking that I don't have any issues of my own. Romans 2, "For it is not hearers of the Torah who are righteous before God, but the doers of the Torah who will be declared righteous."
Amen.
There goes nothing required of us. Right out the window. James 1:22, "Be doers of the word," which is the scriptures, "and not hearers only, otherwise you're deceiving yourselves." So we have a free gift in front of us. Not only is it salvation, but it's these blessings that God's given us. But there's a requirement. If somebody walks up and hands you a gift, you got to open it, right? You got to figure out how to use the gift. Somebody gave me a drone, I couldn't just open it up and start flying. I'd have to figure out how to do it, how to use it. You got to open the gift up and you got to learn how to use it. That's what your Bible is for. You were given a free gift of salvation, but you need to learn what the covenant is all about. Why did Yeshua die for you? What did he provide for you? What is the benefits you get out of it? What are your requirements? It's all in here. It's easy. It's simple. But it requires you to put a little effort in. You got to dig. You got to study. You want to sum it all up? We're not ready to summarize the whole thing today, but the sum of what we're talking about. I was thinking about this the other day, and I think I mentioned it to Cornelia. I mean, I got 1,200 pages in my Bible, right? Everybody's a little different. 1,200 pages, it all come down to one thing. Obedience.
That's right.
Obedience. Now, we're going to close today. It's going to take a little while to close because we're going to start with Deuteronomy 28. And it's the blessings and it's the curses. Now, the first 14 verses are all the blessings. Do you realize verse 15 through 68, or three times as many verses, are dedicated to the curses? Do you think God's trying to get your attention and make you aware of something that you want to avoid at all costs? And today we're going to do them backwards. We're going to start with the curses. We're going to start with sharing the things you don't want any part of, and you should, any logical person that's breathing and has red blood in them should understand they don't want any part of these things. So let's go through some of it. And we're going to start in Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. Next week, we're going to get into the blessing side of it. Verse 15 says, "But if you will not obey the voice of Jehovah your God, being watchful to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." Now, to follow that up, verses 59 to 61 says, "Then Jehovah will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary strokes and blows, great plagues of long continuance, and grievous sicknesses of long duration. Moreover, he will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they will cling to you. Also, every sickness and every affliction, which is not written in this book of Torah, Jehovah will bring upon you until you are destroyed." Now, those three, four verses alone should cause us to take note and want to avoid it. But I'm going to tell you, he goes into great detail to explain through quite a number of these diseases. And they're all a result of disobedience. And what does he call them? He calls them curses. Got to put the two together. Curse is what's going to happen to you. All these plagues and illnesses are curses. Anybody that tells you, "Well, I'm just suffering for Jesus," rebuke them and tell them what the scriptures really say. Because nobody suffers through these plagues and curses for the Messiah or for God. Because God doesn't want you to have any of this. We're going to do a little bit of a Hebrew word study on some of these curses so you understand what they are, number one. But more importantly, so you can understand what some of them are in today's terms. Because if you read through this in a King James or New King James or any version of the Bible, let's face it, some of them are plain as day and some of them you're like, "What is that?" Have any of you said that? What are those? You know, what's a botch? I don't know what a botch is. I have no idea. You're going to know today. So we're going to go through them because these are the diseases that have filled the Christian church as well as the world. These are diseases that we've accepted as part of normal life because that's what we were told. It's part of normal life. Nothing I can do about it. It's in my genes. My dad had diabetes. I have diabetes. My grandfather and great-grandfather all had heart disease. I'm going to have heart disease. And if you haven't said that about yourself, you've known people that have said that. Yes. I know you have. Deuteronomy 28:15 says, "But if you will not obey the voice of your God, being watchful to do all his commandments and statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." So there's a condition for why they're going to come on you. And he's talking to these children are the children of Israel. Who are you? Children of Israel. Romans chapter 11, 2. I don't know. Chapter 11 and Ephesians chapter 2. Both clearly state that out. If we are Israel, then this is for us. We need to understand this. So we're going to take a look at them. And I didn't want to go way, way deep and start looking up. We're just going to Strong's Concordance, which doesn't always give you the full picture, but it does a pretty good job some of the time, most of the time. Verse 18, "Cursed shall be the fruit of your body," which literally means infertility and miscarriages. These are curses that you see every day in this day and age in this world. And you do remember, he said, if you will follow my commandments, none of your, even your livestock will have miscarriages. Yeah. Verse 21, Jehovah shall make the plagues of pestilence cling to you. That's called the destroying plague, producing diseases that cause death, such as influenza, bird and swine flu, bubonic plague, TB, HIV, AIDS, etc., etc., etc. That hits home. Plagues and pestilences, we're like, it's like locusts and grasshoppers, you know? When was the last time you saw a locust swarm? I've never seen one in my life. I know what they are. I've seen them on videos, but I can't relate to it. I can't relate to a plague. I've never lived through a plague. But I see these things all the time. In the news, they're talking about swine flu, bird flu, HIV all the time. People in the tens of millions have them all over the planet. Verse 22, this one was tough in if you have King James or anything similar. Strike you with consumption. Does anybody have that in their Bibles? Yes. Consumption? That means anemic, anorexic, emaciate, to be thin, wasting away, which also includes bulimia or obsessive compulsive disorder. Anybody know someone that has that?
Yeah.
Or has had that? And don't anybody shout out my ex-wife, okay? Fever, which is high temperatures up to 103 degrees. That's also in verse 22. Inflammation, that's self-explanatory. That's in everything from arthritis to just swelling.
Everything.
Extreme burning means high fevers over 103 degrees. Those are the ones that can be life-threatening. Verse 27, the boils of Egypt really relates to ulcers, boils, or leprosy, or all three of those things. It's also fairly well known by the science world today that boils are a physiological manifestation of rebellion. See, as we go through this teaching, we're going to find out what the primary cause of a lot of these things are.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't mean that 100% of the time, but they're fairly accurate, meaning that a very high percentage of the time, when this is going on in your life, it's because of this. Now, that was really challenging for me to accept. But it's medical fact nonetheless. They've proven it over and over and over again. So as we go through this, we're gonna give you some reasons that may be why you're suffering certain symptoms that are in your life. I think later in verse 27, the scab, scratching, gum disease, bleeding, scurvy, the itch. It refers to scraping to produce redness, sinusitis, rashes of the skin, involving the excessive release of histamine in the body in relation to anxiety and fear. It produces itching. There are things such as allergies, eczema. Some of this will go over your head. Some of this you may be suffering from. Verse 27, it continues, so that you cannot be healed. Now, this is a unfortunate verse because the way it reads in King James would make you think that you cannot be healed from it. But I will tell you this. You cannot be healed from it maybe naturally. Maybe worldly you can't be healed. But if you repent and you get things right with God, you can always be healed from anything. If the world tells you you have something you cannot be healed from, they don't know our God. Because if he can raise the dead, that's pretty final. Is there anybody that knows of a disease that's worse than death? Just out of curiosity. Scott, you know of anything? No? I mean, does that... Really, death's about as bad as you can get, isn't it? If he can raise the dead, you think he can handle any disease we might have?
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, it's not going to come if you continue in rebellion. It's not going to come if you don't want to hear what his word has to say. It's not going to come unless you want to repent and turn back to the word of God and follow what it has to say. So during the course of this series, when we talk about incurable diseases, we're talking about man saying they're incurable. Because Cornelia and I believe probably everybody here doesn't believe that there's anything on this planet that's incurable. The Lord, in verse 28, says, the Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. And this is where we're not only talking about physical diseases, but we're talking about the psychological or the psychiatric problems as well. Madness is in the mind. blindness and confusion of heart is a heart issue. It's not talking about like heart attacks. It's talking about your heart and your anger, your rage, the things that are going on, your emotions that are not productive to good health, not productive to walking with the Father. You have to understand these can include many things, but it could be Alzheimer's disease. It could be people that are suffering just from, you know, lack of memory. People lose their memory as they get older and they say, oh, well, this happened to my grandfather. Put an end to that talk if that's you.
Amen.
Because I could care less. I love my grandpa, but I could care less what happened to him. It has nothing to do with me because he didn't know the God I know. And whatever happened to my father, it has nothing to do with me. He had a couple strokes, minor heart attack, and a bunch of other stuff, and he had 43 pills a day lined up and took him to live to be 88 years old. But you know what? His life is not my life, and I'm not condemned to what he went through, and I have no intention of submitting willfully to any of that garbage. That's just me. But I'd like to see everybody else get as mad at that for their circumstances and say no. Astonishment of heart is all your fear disorders, anxiety, panic attacks, phobias. There is no place for that in your life. Now, I'm not saying that legitimate things didn't cause it at one time. I can turn a 10-minute story into 30 seconds. My wife was attacked as a little girl by a German shepherd. Drug her under the table, grabbed her by the arm, and tried to rip her arm off practically. Left fang marks in her hand. They had to put the dog down. It was so bad. She had a fear of dogs her whole life, especially German shepherds. Would anybody fault her for that? I certainly wouldn't. But she said, enough. A few weeks ago, she said, well, if we're going to study and do this teaching, I can't walk in the same things I'm trying to tell other people. And she said, I have had enough of my fear. She went to visit a friend the other day who has two giant German shepherds. About that big, right? Giant German shepherds. She walked in the door without even thinking and started playing and petting with them and having fun with them until the woman who owned the house remembered a couple months ago, Cornelia talked about her great fear and anxiety over German shepherds. She said enough was enough, and I don't think you even knew what you were doing. You didn't even realize that what you were doing was not your old self. But this woman, it was Angela Patterson, everybody knows her. She realized it, and the two of them kind of celebrated together. You can let go of your fears like that if you let God do it. I don't think you made any conscious decision. The next time I see a dog, it just happened. She said enough. She learned what fear was. Fear's a spirit. I did not give you the spirit of fear. She said that spirit can just take a hike. I want nothing to do with you. Leave. And it did. Praise God. So, when you go back to the quote we read earlier from Richard Gallagher about the psychiatric world and that the vast majority of it he believes is demonic possession, we can see how this relates to all these different things going on, because we have hospitals all over the world filled with people with mental disorders and, you know, different anxieties and panics and, you know, crazy stuff. We need to cast that out, and we need to start living like the children of Messiah. No one in their right mind would ever read about these diseases and want to have any of them. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Do any of you want those diseases?
No.
Nobody. You could ask a non-Christian, someone who doesn't know anything about the Bible, hey, would you like some of this? Read them off a list. They're going to go, no way. If they knew a possible way to avoid it, they would do anything they could to do it. So why, as believers in the Bible, do we not embrace what's given to us by the Father? It's true. It's true. I heard somebody, and this is from the Messianic world, and I heard this 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and he stood where I'm standing in a different building, not here. We don't have Messianic rabbis here, and we don't allow them in the building, do we? But he stood up there and he said, the blessings of Abraham are still with us, but the curses were nailed to the cross.
Yeah, right.
All right. Okay, now in the flesh, I had to repent because I wanted to go slap him upside the head and go, what's wrong with you? what Bible you're reading from, but it's the truth. This is what they're being taught. And this is a messianic synagogue. This is not, you know, a Baptist church. They don't understand what their Bible says. We have to start understanding what our Bible says. Verse 59, continuing where we are in Deuteronomy 28, great plagues of long continuance and sore sicknesses of long continuance. Those are chronic diseases.
Yes.
Sometimes these are genetically inherited diseases, but we're going to learn real quickly. You may inherit these diseases, but guess what? As a child of God, you have the option to disinherit them.
That's right.
Okay? If somebody leaves you a fortune when they die, you have the right to walk away and say, you can keep your fortune. All right? You have to take ownership, sign off, and accept a fortune left to you. And there's not too many people who are going to turn that away. But when you're left an inheritance that's junk and it's garbage, I'm going to suggest just walk away. You know, my stepmom in Germany is going to leave us a nightmare when she goes because it's just a mess over there. And I'm trying to tell Cornelia, I don't know the woman. Pretend like we don't want anything she has to inherit. Wire the money, but anything she has, just get rid of it. It's a mess. If you inherited stuff from your parents genetically or whatever they want to call and tell you, just know this, as a child of God, you can disinherit any of that by just repenting and returning to the Torah. Verse 61 says, every sickness and every affliction which is not written in this book of the Torah, Jehovah will bring upon you until you're destroyed. So that means there's more. There's more than what's written. They discover new diseases all the time, don't they? Every time they think the medical world has a disease figured out and they invent a new drug where they can make $28 billion a year selling you a new cure-all, in the same amount of time they figured out that one cure, or they don't call it a cure, it's basically a symptom cover, 10 new diseases pop up. We got more diseases today than ever before in history, and part of that is because they're basically, in the Bible, it was demonic possession, or you had an accident. There's two categories, roughly. I'm just guessing. There was no, you know, all these different diseases that we label it. It was demonic impression, demonic possession. Come and cast that demon out. Different things. You go through the Bible and see how many different attributes were being displayed by people who are filled with demons. It's not, they don't all act the same. But yet we pretend like, oh, we have a disease for everything. We have thousands of diseases. 900 and some of them are just basically people who have demons that are plaguing their life. And they need to deal with those demons. The only way to do it is to shut the door on the demon's face and start following the Word of God. It's not popular. We don't want to talk about demons. I brought up demons to my brother on the phone the other day and he about shut down. I don't believe in demons. I said, do you believe in God? Well, yeah. I go, well, it says in the book that there's demons too. They don't want to believe in it because it's a quantitative something they can't put their head around. And they don't want to read the Bible and they just don't want to deal with it. We've got to understand who our enemy is. And the enemy is Satan. End of story. And Satan uses you to be your own worst enemy most of the time. A disease is not just a disease, according to Deuteronomy 28. It is a curse. If you take one thing home today, remember this. A disease is not just a disease. It's a curse. Either that or God's wrong. You make your decision. A disease is a curse. It's not designed for you to leave here and feel awful about yourself. You have to recognize what you're dealing with, who you're up against, and you have the instructions to know how to deal with it and win and be effective. We're not blessed when we suffer diseases. It's a curse. If you're suffering diseases, it's most likely because you were never taught the Word of God in context the way He intended for you to use it. I'm going to ask you to make a change, and today I want you to say, I may have not been taught the Word of God properly. I may have not understood what it was for me today, but I can change that here and now. We can change today. We can say, we're not going to put up with this anymore. You've got to make that decision. There is a point in your life when you made a decision to follow Yeshua as your Messiah. There needs a point in, be a point in your life when you say, you know, enough. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. You've got to make that stand. I can't do that for you. I can point out some scriptures. I'll encourage you. I'll pray for you. I'll love you. I'll support you through the walk. But I can't do it for you. And nobody else here can either. And guess what? There's nobody out there. There's no miracle man. There's no magic man walking around with his, you know, covered wagon healing people with snake oil juice. There's nobody out there. It's just the Father, His truth, and what are you going to do with it? It's your decision. From this day forward, make a choice. Here in the House of Scriptures, you're going to learn truth. We're going to stick to the Bible. You know, we're never going to have the fancy teachings and the wonderful displays and the, you know, the $100,000 a year Pixar, you know, website guys. That's not what we're about. We don't ever want to be like that. We're just going to stick to the simple truth of God's Word. And most of all, we're going to wrap it in love. It's the only compliment I can receive here really easily. When you tell me, you know, there's a lot of love here, I'll receive that gladly. Now, I'm not interested in anybody patting me on the back because of a teaching, but I will receive that compliment because that's what the entire New Testament is about. It's about following the Word of God and doing it in love. Is it easy? Not always. Sometimes it is. Sometimes you just walk in and you pet the German shepherds and it's gone like that. Other times you're going to have to fight through it. And you're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to be patient. But you got to remember, if you're going to be any good for the Creator, if you're going to be any good for Yeshua, you're going to have to start walking in a more healthy life, in a more victorious life. That's what the abundant life he talked about in the Gospel of John is all about. It's not all about living a rich and, you know, in a mansion. Abundant means living a full and fulfilled life. That means fulfilling his calling for your life, no matter how lowly or how great it is, whatever he decides to do with you. It's also about, it's about taking your will for your life and putting it on the shelf. Saying, Father, this I know this is what I thought you had me to do, but I need to just step back and say, what do you want from me? Because it's not, very seldom is it the same. Very seldom are our desires what he ends up wanting us to do. But as we close, remember this. When you open the door and you give Satan room to come in, he's going to come in. You crack that door, I'm going to suggest to you that you need to step on his foot, and if you need to, you need to grind your foot into the ground, rotate it back and forth as hard as you want. Start learning who you are. Start learning that you have authority over him. Don't go picking a fight with him, but when it comes, face him head on. Use that armor and face him head on. What did David do when he had to go into battle with Goliath? He ran at him. I love when I read that verse, that one verse, I could read it 100 times over, I get chills because he takes off in a run for him. He does not sit around and contemplate and, okay, if I aim this and if I can swing a little harder, he just runs at him and he's like, this guy is mine because of the Creator in me. We need to do the same thing. We need to put on that armor. We need to run into battle when it confronts us. And we need to be victorious. Bury that stone so deep in his head he'll never get up. That's the one time you can take out your righteous anger and focus it towards the enemy. Amen? The last thing I'm going to say to you, and we said it a couple weeks ago, is start remembering who you are. Each and every one of you is a son or a daughter of the King of the universe. And you are all future wives, men and women. You're all betrothed to Yeshua Messiah. And it's a different role than we have here in this society, but it's still the role of the bride nonetheless. And when we are the bride, men, we are going to be submissive to our master, which is going to be Yeshua. Why not get a start now and start living out and walking what he's ordained for us? Start acting like we're king's kids instead of the messianic mess that we've been known to the world as. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer.